Greetings, radio friends. We're happy to come to you today through Jesus Christ our Lord, and may His blessings of grace and peace and love and mercy be multiplied to every one of you in Radio Land today. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, the Church of God of Abrahamic Faith. We're located on the Walvarney Road in Lenore, North Carolina. If you're in the area, we invite you to attend services and worship with us. Today, we would like to talk to you about fainting. Paul said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We can see that he points out, first of all, that we have this ministry. This ministry is the preaching of the gospel, ministering to the people of God in the love of God, and to others also to whom we hope to bring Jesus Christ and the grace of God. Now we note that he points out, as we have received mercy. Specifically, none of us are worthy except we are recipients of the mercies of our wonderful God. In no way is he trying to lord over his hearers the fact that he is in the ministry to be their boss, but rather he wants them to understand that he's in the ministry through the mercy of God, and that he wants to minister to them through the mercy of God, because it's of God's mercies that we are made Christians through Jesus Christ. Today we would like to consider fainting Christians. One of the greatest scriptures concerning fainting or being faint is found in the prophecy of Isaiah. In 40th chapter, the 28th verse, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Now, we could halt here for a moment, and if we went no further, we might suppose that God gives power to all the faint, or that he increases strength to everybody, but let us consider the next two verses. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Note that those who are youth, who have all types of physical strength over the elderly, even they shall faint and be weary. Now he gives us the key to the whole matter. And it tells us who will not faint and who will renew their strength. It matters not whether their physical ability is that of a youth or of the aged. They that wait upon the Lord, that's the thing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the secret formula for strength. And the formula for avoiding fainting is to wait upon the Lord. And the word wait here means for those who look to the Lord. Wait upon Him. Hope upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord. For all things, your life is in the center of His will. They have entrusted him with their lives. To whom is it that God gives strength? The psalmist in Psalms 84:2 says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Notice that the soul here was fainting. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. This individual was longing so much for the Lord that his soul was fainting. He's longing for the courts of the Lord. His heart and his flesh is crying out for the living God. We're reminded of the words of the prophet who said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. No man can receive the Lord nor find the Lord to his salvation until he first seeks God with all of his heart. Again, Psalms 119:81, we find he said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. When the soul is about to faint, you must hold on to the word of God, for that's what he said he did. He said, my soul fainteth, but I hope in thy word. Oftentimes the Christian experience seems to dim a little. The joy of salvation seems to lose its great punch, and people begin to call this backsliding, and yet we wonder if it's not just a simple fainting in a sense, and it could call us to a higher ground when we feel the great need of being right with God. The time of danger for the Christian is not when he feels faint exactly, but perhaps it might be when he feels grand and glorious and all is well and he relaxes too much. That's the time when he's likely to fail the Lord. But the man who can really be trusted is the man who can feel his weakness and seeks God all the time. There are people who become faint naturally, and we do not count this a sin. There are people who expend so much energy for the Lord, they become faint. One of the greatest evangelists, I guess, that ever lived was Jonah. He went into Nineveh and preached to those people in the whole city. Even from the king to all of his subjects repented in sackcloth and ashes. Yet Jonah was very angry and displeased. And a lot of people wondered, well, what in the world was wrong with Jonah? I think that he just simply grew faint from the pressure of preaching to this great city. He come into the city bringing the message of God. The pressure had been great, tremendous. And from the human point of view, he had an impossible message to an impossible people. And yet the impossible message delivered to the impossible people brought about an impossible result. To me, Jonah was an example of a fainting Christian who grows faint from the great pressures of preaching and teaching and ministering. There is a remedy to gauge us and to guard us against spiritually fainting. We need to consider it. Luke 18:1, Jesus, our Lord, gave it to us. He gave it to us in a parable. He said that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. The communications and the channel of prayer established with God in constant supplication, where energy from above comes your way to strengthen and keep you, is one of the greatest things that's ever happened to mankind. Mankind has never really harnessed the power of prayer as he should, except on occasions, perhaps, when there's a great miracle takes place, or like Pentecost. We need to pray to God in spirit and in truth and constantly seek God's face so that our strength will be renewed, that we may perform the things in our lifetime that God desires of us. Paul expressed this thought wonderfully in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, speaking of the grace of God redounding to the glory of God. He tells us why we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That is, we receive renewed energy from our Lord, because Paul said, I am crucified, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so we are healthy and alive spiritually by Christ dwelling in our hearts daily. We're told in Hebrews 12:3 that we should consider how Christ behaved under the pressures of his trial, cross, and death, lest we be weary and faint in our minds. Now, the way our Lord lived, the way he suffered, the trials he withstood should give us an inspiration so that we, too, can be what God would have us to be, with such a glory revealed in us through Christ. Too many Christians faint today, and they feel all of a sudden that God is chastening them or rebuking them for the way that they have done, the things they've left undone. We are warned, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God's dealing with you as with a son. And that ought to make you happy. But if you be without chastisement, then he says you're not a son. Sometimes when we are chastened for something that we feel that we ought to have done and we left undone, or something that we really have done and we shouldn't have done, we begin to faint. Whereas we ought to increase in strength and power if God begins to chasten us for it. We should be glad. It isn't pleasant, but at least it makes us know that God loves us and that he's working with us as a father. The knowledge that we belong to him is enough to increase our strength. And to the church of Ephesus, the Lord said, thou hast borne, hast patience, for my name's sake hast labored, hast not fainted. The Christian who never faints certainly is a wonderful Christian indeed, but sometimes there are those who do faint, but the Lord is out to help you. He wants to restore you to health and strength spiritually as well as naturally. So we find that the true and living God approached unto Israel in Deuteronomy 23. He said unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For he, the Lord your God, is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now this is a very great thought. And we ought to appreciate the fact that God is going to go with us and be with us. And if we're his children, he will do that. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 20:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. When everything seems to go wrong, we ought to realize that God is with us. Galatians 6:9, Paul said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. People of church activities, we sometimes hear that there's too many activities going on and we get tired, we get weary. But here Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing. And he also tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, how that we might maintain our activeness, our integrity. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to be steadfast in our study, our prayer life, our communication with God, our service to God. It should be very steadfast. We should be unmovable. Paul was aware that to be unmovable, you had to have the conviction that he had in Romans 8:38. It's very wonderful. He says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, principality, powers, things present, things to come, height, or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul had come to a point where that he was unmovable to the glory of the Lord. Now, if we were to recap some of the things that we have spoken about, we would find that some of the reasons why Paul said that we faint spiritually is because that men ought to always pray. And if you don't have a family altar in your home, if you don't bow your head at the table for grace, if you don't have a secret closet or private prayer life with God, you're liable to faint. Is it any wonder that we faint when we fail to avail ourselves of this great strength and energy? Giving exercise, which exercise builds us up in the love of God, the grace of God through Jesus our Lord. And then are we steadfast in our service to God? Are we a hit and miss Christian? Do we attend service one time and then we fail to attend the next time? Are we like an engine that has only partial power? The Lord wants us to be steadfast. If we are not steadfast, we will grow weak and will begin to faint away. This brings to mind one of the responsibilities for the wide awake Christians who are set afar with the Spirit of God, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, he which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Our responsibility is such that we find that in this ministry where we faint not, it is to reach out to those who have backslidden, those who are sinners, those who are lost and undone, to point them to the Lamb of God, to bring them to Jesus Christ, who is able to save to the utmost, who will in no wise cast away anyone who turns to Him and seeks Him. Today I hope and trust that you are a Christian. If not, we invite you to call upon the Lord, for all that call upon the Lord shall be saved, says the Scriptures. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, take these thoughts, use them for Thy honor and glory, and touch every heart and use it to the praise of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.